Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.
And now Sonia Sexton of St. Louis Carrickmacross is going to give you a sample answer to a question on Macbeth.
I'm going to look at an approach to the following question. Macbeth is a man of noble disposition, dragged down by his connection with his wife's coarser nature. Discuss. When approaching a question such as this, it is generally a good idea to decide whether you agree or disagree with the statement and to do so in your opening paragraph. For this question, I would suggest you could argue that indeed Macbeth does seem to have a noble disposition at the beginning of the play, and there is substantial evidence that the coarser nature of his wife does influence the uxorious Macbeth in his initial bloody deeds, but ultimately Macbeth is responsible for his own downfall. This opening statement, which refers precisely to the question posed, will form the basis for your answer. After your opening paragraph, you should discuss noble disposition as it relates to the character of Macbeth. Macbeth's credentials are clearly established at the beginning of the play through the testimony of others. For example, brave Macbeth, well he deserves that name, spoken by a sergeant in Duncan's army. Macbeth's noble disposition is further asserted when Duncan rewards his loyalty and bravery in battle by giving him the title Thane of Cawdor. Interestingly, he is rewarded for his bloody execution on the battlefield. We are spared no detail when it is recounted how he unseamed MacDonald from the nave to the chaps and fixed his head upon our battlements. It is clear his nobility largely lies in his bravery for and loyalty to Duncan and Scotland, and as a warrior on their behalf. Further evidence of a possible noble nature, however, is found in Macbeth's awareness of his bond to Duncan and Scotland and his position of double trust. This awareness of his obligation to protect Duncan, not murder him, is perhaps a sign of an initial noble nature. Similarly, his guilt, however brief, after the murder of Duncan, points to a noble disposition. Now, having established Macbeth's noble disposition, you should develop your answer by focusing on Lady Macbeth and the bountiful evidence of her coarser nature. Principally, you will be examining her language in Act 1, Scene 5. Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts, unsex me here and fill me from crown to the toe, top full of direst cruelty. In this scene, we see Lady Macbeth's control and single-mindedness as she rejects her natural femininity and asks for the cloak of blackest hell to mask her evil intent and actions. We further see her coarser nature in Act 1, Scene 7, when she uses graphic imagery and emotional blackmail to bring Macbeth from, we will proceed no further in this business, to, if we should fail. Her brutal negation of her maternal instinct in the lines, I have given suck, is shocking, and her coarseness is not lost on Macbeth, as he states, bring forth men children only, for thy undaunted metal should compose nothing but male. Crucially, Lady Macbeth succeeds in quelling Macbeth's misgivings, and they proceed with their plans to murder Duncan. When you have discussed Lady Macbeth's coarser nature and established her influence in relation to Duncan's murder, you need to draw a line under the influence she brings to bear on Macbeth's behaviour after the murder of Duncan. There is a limit to her influence. Macbeth moves on to even more heinous crimes as Lady Macbeth effectively disappears and Macbeth himself takes centre stage. Her last sane act is desperately trying to calm the guests in the banquet scene. At this point in your answer, you need to show that Macbeth is responsible for his own downfall. Now might be a good time to briefly consider the role of the witches. It is important to remember, however, that within the boundaries of this specific question posed, it would be wrong to dwell too long on the witches. For the purposes of this question, you must show that their influence is limited. Remember, the witches appear to both Banquo and Macbeth, yet Banquo, while tempted, does not act. The witches even admit in Act 3, Scene 5, that what they are doing is an illusion. Their business is not destiny, but trickery. Macbeth refuses to accept this, and significantly is further drawn to them the more desperate he becomes, and actively seeks them out in Act 4, Scene 1. This very deliberate act of meeting the witches and his unwavering trust in their subsequent apparitions is an integral part of Macbeth's autonomous fall from grace. This he did by himself without consulting with his wife. At this point in the argument, you can outline other significant episodes where we see Macbeth's independent capacity for evil. Consider the murder of Banquo and attempted murder of Fleance. Lady Macbeth is not privy to Macbeth's plans at this point. He tells her to be innocent of the knowledge. The attack on Macduff's castle and the murders within are also highly significant when establishing Macbeth's responsibility for his own downfall. The following key quotations are important at this juncture. I am stepped in blood so far that should I wade no more, returning were as tedious as go o'er. These words are spoken by Macbeth in Act 3 in Scene 4, and indicate his state of mind, where he feels that he has passed the point of no return in terms of bloody murder, and it is easier to keep going than to turn back. Another important quote in relation to Macbeth's independent tyranny is, "From this moment the very firstlings of my heart shall be the firstlings of my hand." These words clearly articulate Macbeth's intention to act without reflection, consultation, or recourse to moral judgment. And so, to conclude your answer, you should reiterate the terms of the question. Yes, Macbeth was a man of noble disposition. There is no doubt that the coarser, persuasive nature of his wife influenced him strongly to murder Duncan, and indeed the witches had some influence also. However, at a certain point, Macbeth made his own independent descent into darkness and dragged himself down. Macbeth is ultimately responsible for his own downfall, and probably realises it himself. It could be argued that Macbeth regrets, but one thing is for certain, if so, he regrets too late. Nothing can change the fact that by the end of the play, noble Macbeth has been well and truly replaced by a hellhound, a dead butcher, a tyrant.
Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m. rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.